We would like to acknowledge that the land which we are gathered on today is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe Nation, specifically the Chippewa Tri-Council, comprised of the Chippewas of Beausoleil, Rama, and Georgina Island First Nations, and more recently, the Mississaugas of the Credit River First Nation. Ontario is covered by 46 treaties and other agreements and is home to many Indigenous nations from across Turtle Island, including the Inuit and the Métis. These treaties and other agreements, including the One Dish with One Spoon Wampum Belt Covenant, are agreements to peaceably share and care for the land and its resources. Other Indigenous nations, Europeans, and newcomers were invited into this covenant in the spirit of respect, peace, and friendship. Most of us have come here as settlers, immigrants, or newcomers in this generation or generations past. We are all treaty people. Every day, we are mindful of broken covenants and we strive to make this right. We commit to collaborating based on the foundational assumption that Indigenous peoples have their power, strength, and competency to develop culturally specific strategies for their communities. We are dedicated to honoring Indigenous self-determination, history, and culture, and are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect with all First Nation, Métis, and Inuit people. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beyond the Stethoscope, a podcast focused on hospice palliative care. My name is Linda Meeks, and I am one of the education facilitators at the network. And today, I would like to welcome Rachel LaPonce, who is our clinical manager for the network. Welcome, Rachel.
Hi, Linda. Thank you for having me today.
So what is the article you'll be reviewing for us today, Rachel?
The article that I chose to review today is called Access to Palliative Care for Homeless People, Complex Lives, Complex Care. And it's from the Biomed Central Palliative Care Journal, 2018. And it's by Anki DeVere, Barbara Stringer, Berno Van Milge, Renati Verkake, and Anki Frankie.
Why did you choose this article? Is this an area that's of interest to you?
It is an area of interest to me, and it's an area of an area that I don't really know a lot about, but I've heard a lot of recent conversations about the need to be able to provide a palliative approach to care for this population of individuals. And from what I understand, because of their complex lives and their complex needs, that it's a very, very difficult concept to put together a care plan to put some assistance into place. The reason I chose it is because people experiencing homelessness often encounter progressive incurable somatic diseases in combination with psychiatric and psychosocial problems. And many need palliative care at the end of their lives, but little is known on how to provide palliative care for this population. So I think this was an opportunity to highlight that need.
Yes, and this should be very educational. It's actually a topic that a lot of people, I'm sure, are interested in. What was the objective of this paper?
So according to this paper in the abstract, they said the objective was to give insight into the extent people experience experiencing homelessness have access to good palliative care.
And why is this a current issue?
So to me, in reading the article, I understood that the United Nations states that health facilities, goods and services must be accessible to all, especially the most vulnerable or marginalized sections of the population. This also accounts for the provision of palliative care. And we all know that palliative care improves the quality of life for patients and their families facing the problem associated with life-limiting illness through the prevention and relief of suffering. And we do this through early identification and appropriate assessments, and then the treatment for pain and those symptom management that's identified. The physical and the psychosocial self and the spiritual self are all things that are highlighted. People working with the homeless, however, often have doubts about whether they have equal access to good palliative care. Palliative care facilities and expertise are often organized with the general population in mind, not so much the homeless.
According to this paper, what is the definition of homelessness?
So according to this paper, a person experiencing homelessness is someone without a permanent housing residence who may live on the street or in a shelter in a temporary accommodation that's not on a permanent basis. It's someone who's defined in some way of living in precarious housing or an unstable or non-permanent situation.
Why is it important to highlight palliative care for the homeless?
According to this paper, it's very important to highlight palliative care for the homeless because people experiencing homelessness are a specific target group, not only because of their living conditions, but also because they have a short life expectancy. Their high prevalence of illness and symptom burden, their concerns about how life will end for them, and the reduced availability of palliative care and palliative care resources is what makes it something that we need to highlight.
What are some of the major chronic diseases cited for those experiencing homelessness?
So according to this literature, there's a number of different chronic illnesses that those that are homeless experience. Heart disease, respiratory diseases, diseases of the digestive system, alcohol-related diseases such as liver problems or cancer have been cited as major chronic diseases causing death among people experiencing homelessness. Complex comorbidities may occur due to the co-occurrence of physical illness, psychiatric conditions, and by that, by psychiatric conditions, they're referring to things like depression, psychoses, PTSD, schizophrenia, and of course, addictions. When nearing the end of life, people experiencing homelessness suffer from a high incidence of symptoms, especially pain, fatigue, psychological problems, such as worry and feeling sad.
What are some of the concerns homeless individuals have regarding end of life?
Previous studies have reported that people experiencing homelessness often have concerns about how their life will end. For example, dying anonymously and being undiscovered by an unidentified by someone that they don't know, or not being identified after death are some of the concerns that were highlighted. They also frequently worry about funeral arrangements and notification of family members that they may be not in communication with. Older people experiencing homelessness also see or describe a good death as dying peacefully, not suffering, experiencing spiritual connectedness, and making amends with significant others. These concerns and the diversity and complexity of health problems and the needs in different areas of life pose challenges to the access of good palliative care. Studies indicate that such care is less widely available for people experiencing homelessness.
What subjects were used in this study?
So this particular, so the studies that were looked at in this literature, they had cases that consisted of 16 men, 3 women, 8 were in the palliative phase, and 11 of the people were already deceased at the time that they did this literature review. 5 in the latter group, so those that had died, were in shelters, 3 were in a hospice, and 2 were in nursing homes and 1 in hospital. The average age at death was only 58. The background of all of these individuals in the study were considered by definition, according to this literature, homeless. And most of them had a history of drug or alcohol misuse.
When reading the article, I understood that there are 3 main themes identified in the provision of palliative care for those that are homeless. Can we start by discussing the first theme of late access?
Sure. So I too found that there were 3 main themes identified in the provision of palliative care. The first one was late access. The second one was capricious trajectory of illness. And the third one was complex care. So as asked, I'll talk a little bit about what is meant by late access. So by that, is really identifying the difficulty in recognizing the palliative care needs of individuals. So people experiencing homelessness often do not have a recorded medical history due to their lack of interactions with healthcare providers, their lifestyles that tend to be a little bit chaotic and unorganized, and the paths that their lives have taken. They tend to have those experiencing homelessness also have a combination of psychiatric problems, addiction issues, intellectual disabilities, and challenging behaviors. Linking them with professionals on a consistent basis is a bit challenging. One of the other topics identified under late access is the ambivalence towards accepting care. So people experiencing homelessness do not readily ask for help, even when they're experiencing healthcare needs. They often suffer many losses in their past. As I mentioned, post-traumatic stress was one of those issues that is of chronic nature often with those experiencing homelessness. They sometimes have lost jobs, their homes, their family, their friends, their dreams and hopes when all those things have been lost. And now they're experiencing loss in their health. They suffer from social exclusion and have learned to solve issues themselves instead of approaching and accepting care from others. Another topic that was identified under late access to care was that there are no palliative care facilities. So by this, the study indicated that in most parts of, the study was based in the Netherlands. So what they said was in some areas, there is the inefficient capacity in specialized nursing homes for people experiencing homelessness. There are limited resources for those in certain areas to be able to link with resources that would be in a place that is accessible to those that are homeless.
A capricious trajectory was another theme that impacts the provision of palliative care for the homeless. Could you explain that more for us?
Sure. So access to palliative care facilities was often impeded by big fluctuations in the care provision. So two sub-themes under this was first, the behavior of people experiencing homelessness presents a challenge for the continuous working relationship with professionals. And secondly, professionals experiencing the disease progression, they describe it as being unpredictable. So there's a few subtopics under that capricious trajectory. One of them is that behavior is challenging for professionals. And what they've indicated here is that many of the professionals interviewed that work with individuals who are homeless, both in facilities and for people experiencing homelessness, they mentioned that the behavior of people experiencing homelessness is often challenging and difficult for them to handle. If these individuals are addicted to different substances, they spend a great deal of their time arranging the use of alcohol and drugs instead of following the care plan to enable their health to the quality of their health to be improved. Social context for these individuals was mainly based on those that are in their social circle and those that are also misusing substances. So the unpredictability and the unreliability of those that are in their social circle is also a contributing factor to the challenging behaviors. Another subheader under this is that it is those that are homeless have an unpredictable disease progression. So the state of the physical health of someone who's homeless often stabilized or got better when the sick person was moved to a living condition that was off the street. we find that those that are living on the streets and continue to be in their precarious housing don't have the ability to see that improvement. So the decline in their level of wellness is impacted by the precarious housing that they're in. They find that those that have more reliance on shelters, those that are even go into hospitals, so for some acute care intervention, tend to stabilize in their overall level of health because they have that oversight of the medical profession.
The third key theme that prevents people experiencing homelessness from having access to good palliative care is the complexity of the care. What is meant by this?
So by this, the article is saying that complex care prevents people from experiencing homelessness from having access to good palliative care. In particular, the control of pain and other symptoms is complex. The psychosocial and spiritual care that these individuals require is very complex, and the care for relatives was perceived as very difficult. So as one of the subheaders under this complex care is pain and symptom management and pain and symptom control. So many of the professionals interviewed in this study experienced great difficulties trying to manage these symptoms. People who already use and have used drugs and alcohol were found to react differently to their usual doses of pain medications. And so they required some out-of-the-box approaches to managing their symptoms. Of course, there's prescribing restrictions that need to be in place so that both the prescriber is prescribing in a safe situation and the person who's using the medications is using it as appropriately and not sending it off in other places, or has it held in a safe place so that they are going to be safe having it on their person. Physicians involved in the healthcare for residents and shelters sometimes noticed that pharmacists and psychiatrists would not give them the appropriate advice because they were insecure or nervous about the higher doses of pain medication. So those that weren't familiar with working with those that are precariously housed would tend to underdose or undertreat the symptoms that those that are homeless are experiencing. As far as some of the psychosocial or spiritual care issues, except for the shelters run by the Salvation Army, additional psychosocial and spiritual palliative care was not always available in the shelters. Professionals often did not know the psychosocial and spiritual care is also a part of palliative care. So, you know, we often talk about the holistic approach to this palliative philosophy and how it's more than just the physical, addressing the physical symptoms. We've talked about total pain. Often when you can address some of those psychosocial issues and some of that spiritual care, you can alleviate some of that physical pain, that physical distress that individual is experiencing. But really there are limits at present as to what resources could be available to help meet the needs for the homeless as far as their spiritual and psychosocial needs and palliative care. As far as social networks, the social networks of people experiencing homelessness often only consist of other people experiencing homelessness. So they're often not linked with family members or loved ones or previous friends that are not in the same situation they are. And they tend to use or misuse drugs and alcohol, as does the individual who is homeless. So if someone got sick, these contacts usually disappear, fade away because they're unreliable. Because family ties were mostly broken due to painful events in the past, you know, it is difficult for those that are homeless to make those connections again with their family members, especially when they're faced with a life-limiting illness.
What did this study find that really is not new information for us?
So when I was reading this study, I found that, what was not new is that there are some serious barriers that make good palliative care for this target group particularly challenging. These barriers can be clustered into three key themes: late access, capricious trajectory, and complex care. The difficulties in recognizing a need for palliative care in this target group as identified in the study might be related to a phenomenon of diagnostic overshadowing, which is often seen in the care of people with mental illness. This is when a person's physical symptoms are mistaken or attributed to their mental illness, which leads to a worsening physical condition. Ambivalence towards accepting care also increases the chance of worsening care. And this phenomenon of diagnostic overshadowing, if we think about those that live in long-term care home, those that have a dementia, often when they have an underlying physical symptom, but they're not able to communicate or interpret what it is that they're feeling, they may start behaving differently from their normal. The same thing happens sometimes with those that are homeless or precariously housed because they have maybe some difficulties socializing or communicating what their needs are. They may have some mental illness that impairs their functioning, and their behaviors may be challenging at times. And so when they start behaving in a different way, it is often thought to be related to their mental illness versus could this possibly be related to an underlying physiological illness, maybe an illness that is life-limiting. So we tend to underestimate that those that are homeless can also have life-limiting illnesses, and the suffering that they're experiencing is significant, much like it is to someone who has a home to live in.
As service providers, how can we help to maintain the autonomy of the individual experiencing homelessness while still providing support?
So professionals might face the dilemma on how to support the person experiencing homelessness by maintaining their autonomy. So professionals could not insist that the individual accept care, and they may discontinue a discussion in certain situations when they find that it is bothersome to the individual. They can not insist on the person following the wishes and accept that they are avoiding care at times, but on an ongoing basis, continue to discuss and support the person's situations and their needs, and to provide opportunity for that advanced care planning. This could allow the person to feel more in control of their future situation. So it's about meeting the person where they are instead of forcing that individual to come to where we are. It's about picking up on those subtle cues when someone wants to disengage from the conversation at that point in time versus being insistent that the conversation continue until you either get the answer you're looking for or receive compliance or cooperation from that individual, because that may never happen. And often it works the opposite, and they will not come back for that care provision. It's about relationship building. They can plan to help the person and maintain their autonomy and self-control by doing things like this. They can show empathy, show acceptance of what is currently a reality in this individual's situation, and try to connect with the client in their world.
Now, I think you've already touched on my next question, but I just wanted to circle back around and maybe you could expand on this. And the question is, does substance use, or actually misuse, make it more difficult to care for individuals experiencing homelessness?
It does. So People experiencing homelessness frequently have complex needs and multiple problems and symptoms that are difficult to recognize and interpret. For instance, those who are homeless often have psychiatric disorders, as I've said, such as schizophrenia. One of the characteristics of people with schizophrenia is that they often express lower intensity of pain than compared to those that don't have that disorder. Besides pain, people experiencing homelessness, it's often difficult to identify and control because of drug use in the past. They often require different medications or medications at higher doses to get the same response compared to those that haven't previously been exposed to those medications.
Can you explain why the limited involvement of family actually increased the complexity of the care for those that experience homelessness?
The care is also complex because of the difficulties to involve relatives. Whereas in the general public, relatives are often directly involved in someone's palliative care team. They're part of the ongoing care, the interactions with service providers, and are hands-on in the home or at appointments. Those that are precariously housed often do not have that family involvement, and family and friends are absent in that everyday care. And so there definitely isn't the resource for them to be able to provide end-of-life care. Supporting individuals experiencing homelessness in restoring family bonds is very challenging, and for professionals that are involved with this population of individuals. But even though it's challenging, it's not that they don't try and do that if that's what the patient wishes. The absence of family is also illustrated by the fact that we're not able to involve immediate family or other relatives because they had their own problems, or because they didn't want to come back into the picture after they've removed themselves so many years ago. The lack of social networks and the ambivalence felt by professionals about contacting immediate family members or relatives was also found to be one of the things that those that are homeless experience often.
When we look at the holistic approach to palliative care, we think of the psychosocial and spiritual needs of individuals along with the physical. What are the challenges to address this for those that are homeless?
So according to this article, providing good psychosocial and spiritual care is often difficult. Professionals sometimes did not know that this kind of care is also part of a palliative philosophy. They were afraid of talking about dying and did not have enough time to do it. People experiencing homelessness often avoided such conversations. This particular study also showed that some wanted to talk to somebody else about the psychosocial and spiritual issues, such as reflecting upon their life and the near future. They found that people experiencing homelessness do worry about end of life, just like those that are not precariously housed, and that respect for people in this situation need to have trust that has developed in the relationship and an improved engagement with those service providers in order to be able to tailor or accommodate or move forward some of that important work of that psychosocial and spiritual care, especially if it's the frontline service providers that are the ones that are going to be responsible for providing that support. That trust and that relationship building needs to be present first before there can be that open communication about those very important aspects of care.
In summary, what are some of the recommendations from this study to improve timely and quality palliative care for those experiencing homelessness?
So based on the results of this study, they recommended a number of things. And so I'll just outline what it is that they've suggested here. So what they've said is that informing outreach professionals such as street workers about what a palliative philosophy is about is very important, because these individuals play an important role and they can play an important role in signaling, identifying, raising that red flag, documenting, and reporting when they suspect that someone is seriously ill. People experiencing homelessness themselves, or those who were formerly experiencing homelessness, can easily make contact with other people experiencing homelessness. They may also have a role in signaling a need for palliative care. So it's about informing those individuals that are actively seeing them on a regular basis so that they know how to report off, how to identify, and how to reach those resources when they're identifying a need. It's about that early identification piece, so to speak. They've also just suggested that training staff in shelters in a palliative philosophy and the ways palliative care can be organized is the first step towards improving palliative care for people experiencing homelessness in shelters. Staff in these homes can provide a palliative approach to care, but also it's about training those that are in the mainstream areas that provide palliative care, like long-term care homes and hospices, training those individuals on how to work and better communicate with those that are coming from a situation of homelessness as well. So it goes twofold as far as the education piece. They've also suggested that building a network of palliative care specialists for people experiencing homelessness would also be of an advantage. These individuals can advise professionals in mainstream facilities like acute care, long-term care, or hospices regarding the complexities of pain and symptom management of this target group. So it's about developing some relationships between those care providers that are looking after individuals on the streets and those individuals that are looking at individuals that have come off the street but lived almost their entire lives in that situation on how to care for them once they've come into those acute care settings. What they've suggested is this can stimulate growth of the body of knowledge around palliative care for people who are homeless. There is some evidence that interventions aimed at advanced care planning and documenting wishes and better cooperation may be effective ways to encounter the concerns and the needs of those that are homeless in their final phase of life.
Thank you, Rachel. That was a very informative study. I just wanted to mention that this area is a fantastic area for future education. And hopefully at some point in time, we might be able to provide a speaker at one of our conferences or a course on this as we go forward to build compassionate communities.
Well, thank you so much for having me today, Linda. It's been a privilege sharing this article. I really found this article to be very interesting and a bit of an eye-opener. Of course, there was some stuff in there that I really had an understanding of, but the complexities on how we can meet the need is really something that requires further knowledge, and it requires a team that can go out and meet with these individuals in the place where they're living, versus insist that these individuals come to us because they're not going to. So in order to be able to meet their needs, we need to go to them. So I do thank you for having me and allowing me to share this.
Thank you so much, Rachel.